I'm going to read in its entirety from Psalm 146, if you want to follow along. By the way, we have folks singing that we're praising the Lord. And then we had Noah praising the Lord as he, that's what he was doing. And his mom took him while he was walking out. Psalm 146 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. King James says, as long as I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. And that very day, their plans come to nothing. Can't wait to talk about that. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, and the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. By the way, there's eight reasons why we should praise the Lord, and these are some of them. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates, the ways of the wicked. I like King James just a tad better. And we'll talk about it in the last part of the sermon, about 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. Visitors don't understand. We don't. But the King James says the Lord turns the wicked upside down. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. If you haven't noticed it, we'll say it again. Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150 all start with praise the Lord and all end with praise the Lord. The Psalms have been a blessing to me to write sermons on them, and they've changed me. And pretty soon, I hope my family knows, my wife notices, but I've decided since I've been preaching these Psalms, I'm going to praise the Lord more. It's up to you. That's a personal choice, but I'm going to praise Him more. So if you're over 60, praise the Lord. If you're young, praise the Lord. If you're healthy, praise the Lord. Got a good husband, good wife? Praise the Lord. Amen. Got healthy children? One wife said that. Praise the Lord. You got a job? Praise the Lord. Got a car that got you here? Praise the Lord. Just praise Him. Praise Him in all things. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. But this is the will of God concerning you. So we decided to do this sermon this way. Here's the first point. I am going to praise the Lord, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. How about that? I don't care if people think I'm silly. I don't care if people think I'm foolish. I don't care if people think I've lost my mind. I am going to praise Him. Many scholars believe that David wrote this psalm right after his praise was criticized. So we'll talk about that for a moment. The most valuable piece of furniture to the people of God in the Old Testament was the Ark of the Covenant. We could have a picture up here, but you'll just have to believe that the people believed the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. They believed that's where God's presence was. And during a war, the Ark of the Covenant was taken from them. So they wanted to get it back. And after they got it back, they were very careful to transport it. And during this transportation, one man died. And so it got intense trying to get the Ark of the Covenant back to where it belonged. When it finally got back to where it belonged in the city of David, Bethlehem, David was so excited that it got back that he did a dance. He danced before the Lord. You've read that? And where he danced before the Lord, the Bible says that people shouted and trumpets were blaring and he was excited. Until he got home. When he got home, his wife was looking through a window And the Bible says in 2 Samuel, you can see it in chapter 6, that she despised David in her heart. And the more he praised the Lord, and don't be afraid, I'm not going to dance, but I want to, but I'm old. The more he praised the Lord, the more upset she got. I want you to understand something. Whenever there's a person who wants to praise the Lord, there's usually a person who doesn't like it. Whenever there's a person whose heart is so full of God's praise and wants to just come out and praise Him, there's usually a person who's critical of praise. Maybe you've done that. Someone will say, praise the Lord, and you look at them like, are they ill? What's wrong with them? They have upset stomach or something? I heard a story about a woman who's always praising the Lord in church. Everything happened. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it got too disturbing. People were staring at her. And up the sermon, the preacher's sermon, she kept saying, praise the Lord all the time. And finally, an usher went over to her and said, lady, calm down. And she said, I can't. I got religion. He said, shut up. You didn't get it here. I know there's sometimes there's, we want you to get praise here and praise the Lord. So when David was praising the Lord, his wife from the window said, and the King, I'll just say the King James and the NIV is a little different. How glorious was the King today dancing and disrobing himself in front of his maidens? I think, I'm not sure that she went like this. I don't know that for sure. How glorious was, you know, and she was critical of David. And David said this. It was before the Lord. The Lord who chose me to be the king of my people. And if I want to praise him, I'll praise him. And then he said this, and the song matched it today pretty well. He said, as long as I have being. How many folks this morning have being? What do the rest of you have? You have being. You are being. God gave you being. And David said, as long as I have being, I will praise the Lord. That means as long as I draw breath. Because you know what in heaven we're going to do? We're going to praise the Lord. So might as well practice here. Okay? The Apostle Paul wrote to Philippian Christians and said, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. It's the glory of God the Father. So everybody's going to bow. Some will bow because they want to, and some will bow because they have to, but everybody's going to bow. I'll tell you this, and a few folks know it. I did a wedding, and the wedding rehearsal, I said, this is the point in the wedding where you bow and we pray for you as a couple. And the man said, I will never bow in front of another man. My flesh wanted to say, no bow, no wedding. But all I could think of was, you haven't got to bow now, but you will bow someday. So we start out with, I will praise the Lord. And if someone thinks it's crazy, let them think that way. I'm going to praise him. Actually, I'm running out of days to praise him, so I might as well, with the days I have left, I might as well praise him. Here's the second part. I'll praise the Lord, but I'll not praise or trust princes. Like, we got to talk about this, folks. This psalm says, praise the Lord and trust the Lord, but don't trust princes. That means don't trust princes, don't trust kings, don't trust queens, don't trust senators, don't trust representatives, don't trust presidents, don't trust any leadership at all, because they're imperfect. And if you ever find a good one, they could die anyway. You don't trust your earthly leaders because God deserves your trust. I wasn't going to do this. I'm not going to get the board out, but imagine this. You know what politics are? Do you know what politics are? Poly means many. A polygon has many sides. A tick is a bloodsucker. So polyticks are many bloodsuckers. No, no. I'm not sure I even like that myself, but. God can do more for us than our political leaders, because God can be trusted and he deserves our praise. You know, the Bible says to respect leaders, position, not necessarily the leader. And so we'll do that. I'm going to try this. When Jesus was here, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 plus. He took their scarce quantity and multiplied it. So I want to tell you as a congregation and as a church family that our needs aren't met by our resources. Our needs are met by God blessing our resources. Just need to know that. And we'll try this. 3 or 4 areas, okay? Remember, our needs are not met by us, but they're met by Him blessing what we have. Let's try this with parenting. In parenting, you can get books out about good parenting, and you can go to seminars on good parenting. But in the end, the best idea is say, God, help me and bless me as a dad to be the right kind of dad. And God, help me and bless me as a mom to be the right kind of mom. And God, bless my daughter, bless my children, bless my son. There's nothing wrong with asking God to bless your children and bless you as a dad and you as a mom. That's a better idea than a seminar. Seminars are okay and you get good ideas, but what's wrong with saying, God, these are my resources, but I need your blessing on my children, my family. We'll go 2 more steps. You can go to marriage seminars. Marriage seminars are important and they're all right. But what's wrong with saying, God, bless my marriage. Bless me as a husband. Help me be the right kind of husband. Bless me as a wife and help me be the right kind of wife. Just bless this marriage, because seminars and books are good, but they can't do anything for you like asking God to bless your marriage, because He's the one that blesses our resources. Well, God, I'm working hard and I got this income. What's wrong with asking God to bless your job and bless your income, that you can use it for Him? So our needs aren't met by us, they're met by Him blessing what we have. But we'll try one more. A man came up to his preacher and said this, you know, preacher, I was going to try tithing. I was going to try it. But I found out if I tried tithing that I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. And the preacher was wise, and the preacher said this, I'll tell you what, if you try tithing for a month, at the end of the month, if you still have your bills, I'll pay for them. And the guy said, I like that. I'll do that. And then the preacher said this, why are you trusting me, a human, to pay your, to meet your needs when you can't trust the creator of the universe to keep? Just a thought. Okay, so don't trust in princes. We're going to come back to that at the end of the sermon, because the fourth point comes back to that a little bit. Here's the third one. Keep going. They shouldn't be trusted because they're human and because they don't deserve it. And here's the third point. I will praise Him because He's all-powerful Lord, so when I am weak, He'll be my support and make me stronger so I can praise Him forever. Does anybody here need Him? I need Him. Is anybody here weak and perfect? I need Him. I'm weak. I'm imperfect. And what this passage says in Psalm 146 is, blessed are those who have God, is the God of Jacob, is their God. So we need to talk about Jacob a little bit. Jacob was a rascal, conniving, nasty little fellow. He betrayed his brother and his parents. And Esau was his brother. And he took Esau's birthright and Esau's blessing. And then he left. And he was afraid of Esau. Esau was going to kill him. Esau hated him because he took so much from him. And while Jacob was gone, God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him with servants and cattle and camel and all sorts of earthly goods. And finally, a messenger came to Jacob one day and said, Esau's coming. He was sure that Esau was coming to kill him. So being the skunk that he was, he took all of his possessions and split them. His family, his servants, his possessions, and he split them. He sent one way and one the other way. That when Esau came and started killing people, at least one half of them would escape. And when he split everything, then he went down to sleep at night with a rock for his pillow. And while he was sleeping, a man, look at me, put this in parentheses, a man. Some think it was Jesus showing up. Some think it was the angel Gabriel, we're not sure who it was, but someone came at night while he was sleeping. He was alone. He was worried about Esau killing him. And someone came and wrestled with him all night. And wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with him. Have you ever resisted God? Do you know when you resist God, God could put the hurt on you right away? And he wrestled with God. And God poked him in the thigh. He wrestled all night. God just let him wrestle. And he poked him in the thigh and put the hurt on him and dislocated his thigh. A chiropractor will say, I can't help you if you resist me. A lifeguard will say, I can't help you if you resist me. And God will say, I won't help you if you resist me. A few folks in the congregation might know that I like to watch sports. Once in a while, and sometimes too long, I'll be watching a sport, and Nancy will come in, and she'll say, can we watch something? And I'll say, we are watching something. But because I love her, I mean, we are, it's something. Because I love her, I'll change to Channel 256. 256 isn't funny. That's the old black and white movie channel. Root canal work is better. But because I love her, old movies, same thing. A beautiful woman and a guy who's a dork, nerd, dingbat, whatever you want to call him. He loves her, but she won't have anything to do with him. And she'll roll her eyes, she'll fold her arms, she'll tell him to get out of her life. She'll tell her friends, I can't stand him. And what Nancy likes to do at the beginning of the movie is to say she's going to fall in love with this guy. And what the movie says is, the movie does this. She resists, she resists, she resists, she resists, she resists, and then she kisses him. And Nancy says, told you, told you, told you, told you. People resist God and resist God. And God lets them resist him. There's a lot of people who don't want God. And they resist him until they draw their last breath. And God lets them. Worst thing you ever do is resist God. I'm going to put it up on the screen. We're going to go this really fast. Because God can bless us because he's our creator. God can bless us because he's ever forever faithful. And God can bless us because he loves to sustain us. Ooh, it's right there. Did the other eight things come real fast? Here we go. Stay with me. This is, you're never going to see a preacher go through eight things faster than this. Here we go. God, the Psalms is eight ways God blesses people. He sends justice to the oppressed. He provides food for those who are hungry. He sets prisoners free. By the way, also if you're imprisoned by sin. He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises up those who are bowed down. Again, those who are burdened, besides physically bowed down, although there was one in Jesus' life. He loves the righteous. He protects strangers. He takes care of the fatherless and the widow. Those are things that this passage says that God does. And that's why he should be praised. Those eight things, and there's so much more. Okay, so let's go to our last point. Number four, I will praise the Lord because he'll turn the wicked upside down. I want to clarify something. I don't want anybody who's breathing to have a bad day, or I don't hate anybody. I don't want to get revenge on anybody. I don't want anyone to blow up or die because of me or my prayers. If God gives me the permission to have a list of people I don't like, I've got it ready. But I want to lay that groundwork that I'm not a vengeful person. But God tells me to preach the Bible. And the Bible says there's going to come a day when God will turn the wicked upside down. And that is my hope. I hope that for that day. They tell a story of two little boys who went to a store before there were barcodes. They went to that store and they knew they weren't supposed to steal, and they weren't supposed to ruin anything or take anything, But they changed all the price tags on the toys. So expensive things were cheap, and cheap things were expensive. It turned everything upside down. Imagine the shock of people and the proprietor when he went in there and bought. That's what Jesus did. He came and turned our world upside down. So a righteous Pharisee was not justified, but a sinner who went to the temple was. And the prodigal son was accepted, but the holier, older brother was not. And the men who worked for an hour were paid just as much as the people who worked all day. And the shepherd rejoices over the one that was lost instead of the 99 that were not lost. And Jesus came and turned up things upside down. So I want you to know, I just want you to know that the day is coming, if they don't repent, that God will take care of the God mockers. And God will take care of the baby killers. And God will take care of the smug people who don't love the Lord. Because I'm weary of the wicked getting their way and Christians taking on the chin. I'm just so tired of that. And I'm so weary of those who hate God getting in the way of those who love God. So tired of that, but the Bible says that day is going to come. So, the Apostle Paul, when he went to Corinth, said this. And he was educated. He said, I don't come to you as an educated man. I come to you just to preach Christ and Him crucified. So I want to tell you folks today, I might be considered old-fashioned. I might be considered intolerant. I might be considered narrow. I might be considered not keeping up with the times. But all I'm going to do is preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. That's all we're going to do. I haven't got time for silly games. I haven't got time to argue with people who don't love God. I haven't got time to play footsie with the devil. I haven't even got time to wait for the new church to be built. All I have time for is to preach Jesus. That's all we got time for. So I want to show you something. And this will wrap up the service. Got so many pockets. Billy's going to help me. He's going to hold us up. That's what I was going to do. No? So he covered the face. That's good. You know I love you, don't you?
Yeah.
So cover your face then. But I got to see it in the back.
Okay, you want it up?
Very good. Yeah. Doesn't it look good? You can look at it if you want. So you know what we're doing too. Take a look and bring it back. Okay. All right. All right. What do you see? What do you see?
Light around the dark.
Most people say, I see a black dot. But you see so much more than a black dot. And sometimes the wickedness and our troubles and our toils and our heartaches and our pain, we focus on them, and that's all we see when there are so many blessings of God that we miss focus, and God can, where's that? It doesn't matter. God can take this away. We're out of focus if we just concentrate on the things that are wrong. We need to start realizing His blessings. His blessings are so much more. So the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. But bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what we need. So if it helps today, your preacher is going to be more of a person of praise. And if you have chosen to do that, so now don't take it lightly. Just don't say praise the Lord and not mean it. Some folks toss that out like it's empty. No, always mean it when you say it. Thank you for your kind attention. Let's stand and sing our closing song.